Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Muck Bill Yarborough. Sonny Young is taking a break from his mic, and I'll be filling in for him here in Washington. Welcome to the May 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll kick off today's episode with an interview with my VOA colleague, Sheck Tiaro from Kigali, Rwanda, giving us a recap of the BAL playoffs this past weekend. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, Sheck. How's the atmosphere over there in Kigali?
I'm telling you, Mugbill, is a good time for Africa basketball. They're making us meet the NBA in live in Africa, Mugbill. And the past few days were great, you know.
Before we even get to the amazing games that happened this weekend, Sheck, I want you to talk to me about the environment, what it's like you just mentioned, the excitement behind basketball in Africa, in Kigali right now. What are you feeling when you're out there?
Mugbill, it feels amazing. It's a historical moment for Basketball Africa League. The environment is so tremendous. The fans, the gym, the players, the improvement on everything, the stars. You see all African art, you know. You see Luol Deng. You see so many celebrity people supporting this Basketball Africa League, Mugbill. The environment is tremendous. And we have been in touch with every little part of the gym. And it's a very tough culture. People came from all over the world, not only from Africa countries, but all over from the world, to come support and come watch this basketball. Of course, almost 12 teams, 18 from the African countries, you know, came for this one, for this playoff. And it's tremendous, Mugbill, and it's too much going on. There's a lot of side events going on besides this. There's the Ball Elevate, the Junior NBA. There are so many side events, you know, NBA coaching, clinic is teaching African coaches. And the women NBA, former women NBA women are working with a woman to improve. There's a lot of side event on this event here, Mugbill, that is very, the list is going on, and it's very good for Africa's sports and development.
Man, I'm super excited to see it. Honestly, just watching it, you know, watching the games is one thing. But just seeing the excitement behind the game of basketball in Africa is exciting. But let's get to it, though. Sheck, you seen the games. You were watching them. You were there. Please, let's do a rundown of the games for the weekend. Stade Malien beat Cape Town Tigers 78-69. Al Ahly Sports Club beat Rwanda Energy Group, the home team, 94-77. AS Douanes was able to beat CFV Beira 93-73. And Petro de Luanda and ABC Fighters came down to it. Very close game, 88-84. What were your standout games and just a few points from any of the games?
Man, I'll think everybody thinks the yesterday game between Petro de Luanda and ABC Fighters was the best game of all this conference. I believe it's not close to the one Al Ahly played with Petro on the Conference 9 games. This game was very competitive yesterday, Mugbill. You know, 20 minutes before the game ends, even 6 seconds before the game ends, you don't know who's going to win or lose. That's the NBA kind of level of basketball, Mugbill, that we've seen in the Basketball Africa League. It was a very enjoyable moment, and it was a lot of spectacular game, and so many teams from Stade Malien. We have Ali Jara, who put some spectacular shows at the end of the game when they were struggling defensively from this coming back from Cape Town. Overall, Mugbill, it was really great. All these teams really played their best again. And you know, the playoff is one and done. So nobody's going to come and reserve and keep anything they have. They give everything they have, but it would just matter not. The competition level is really high this year, Mugbill, compared to the past two previous years. But overall, all these eight teams really came to fight at Mugbill. And they've seen a lot of challenging on the court defensively. And this is like NBA playoff. Like NBA playoff, the defensive players, the defensive team win the game. So it's been so many defensive end in here. If you make a mistake on a defensive end, you're going to lose the game. So that's what we've been seeing. And all the players we have interviewed all agree that defense won championship at this moment. And they're giving everything they got. It's going on right now. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a better quarterfinal than this, and that's what we expect from the playoff in a level like this, professional level like this, Mugu.
Yeah, no, Shek, I definitely agree. I think defense wins championships, and we've seen it in the past. You know, the teams that really locked in on defense were the ones who were able to get that offensive flow. But do you think now that ABC Fighters really showed us that Petro is not necessarily as unbeatable as we may have thought coming into this conference? Because, you know, in the last conference, the only close game that they had was against Al Ahly, and they kind of ran through everybody else in the conference. But now with their first game going up against, they were the first seed going up against a number four seed. Did you think the ABC Fighters kind of showed the other teams a way to potentially beat Petro?
Yeah, the ABC, they showed that because, you know, Mobile, this player, this team didn't play each other. This is the battle when we talk about a Saharan Conference and the Nile Conference, right? Mm-hmm. Petro came from the Nile Conference and ABC came from the Saharan Conference. So, and this, it was a taste of how the level of competition is between this conference, and we see that is the level is the equal level is now, you know, you can say that it's equal level, right? Because we've seen that a Nile conference team beat a Sahara conference team, and we saw again a Sahara conference also team beat a Nile team, which is Tad Malian. So it's a balance right now on what is going on moving forward in Mukbil. We will see that a lot of teams winning at this point, they just one step away to win the championship. They're going to do everything they have. The press conference yesterday from the Senegal team, Jean-Jacques Kwame, the point guard, said that they was not expecting to be in this position and to be on in top eight, you know, and they are here now, and they went to, I believe, top four now, and then they're looking to go to top two, and that's what it is, Mukbil, and every team's going to come here ready to play. It's not going to be like the previous years. Everybody ready to compete. Everybody ready to bowl, Mobile. And the fan just started making more fun, you know. He was able to chat with a lot of players through this. It's a quiet experience for VOA coverage. We was able to meet a lot of players through this. Coaches, commentators, you know, that we always use from DC. And it's a good environment, Mobile, to see basketball finally expanding in across of Africa.
Man, I love that for VOA. I love that for you guys to be able to experience that. And like you mentioned, I feel like the conferences are very evenly matched, bro, because, look, we have Petro and Al Ahly making it through to the next round from the Nile Conference, and then we have AS Douan and Stade Malien from the Sahara Conference. So we got 2-2. What are your predictions? Petro de Luanda versus AS Douan and Stade Malien versus Al Ahly. Who do you see making it to the finals just from the previous play that they played over the weekend?
Oh, man, that's a very tough question, Mufil. But I think it's a very tough question. I'm telling you, the level of competition for all these teams, at this point, Mufil, it's not only offense. You know, everybody agrees that offense is not going to be this, what you need again. Like, defense is going to make you win a game at this point here. So every time you do something bad, always believe that it's going to be a pay for you, you know. And both teams, everybody loaded, Mufil. You know, all teams like Al Ahly played a game for sure for the first game, for the third game. And we see Stade Malien play their first game, but they're always like that, not consistent at some point in the game. But they find it out. We was able to attend their practice this morning. The coach was saying they put some new play out for the Al Ahly they're going to use. And, you know, those are plays that you don't talk about. And also defense, they had they watched their films. Everybody's analyzing each other right now. And it's going to be a tough battle. It's very hard to say who's going to really win because this is two Saharan teams. This is one Saharan team and one Nile team. And both sides, it would be very difficult to predict who's going to win because we saw it was 1-1 for both, you know, and that side. And we'll see if Nile Conference team will face each other or if the Saharan Conference will face Nile Conference and final, or if the Saharan team is going to face each other if I do want to win. And start when it's going to be far in the final. And if, you know, we want to see something balanced here. Yeah. if one team went from the Nile Conference, like another team got to win from the Sahara Conference, that would balance, you know, the match. But if one if both lose an Ireland conference, it's going to be an Ireland conference. So that's when we're going to determine what team is really good and what conference is big. You know what I'm saying? And right now, it's very hard to predict it, but we see Petro and Mukbil is loaded. Petro didn't need to use their big man yesterday because their coach figured it out. This was not a game for Bees, and that's why we didn't see Mojack a lot in the game. But he put Mojack in the game when he was needed, and he had some big, big black shots that give them the victory and when they need it. And that's what it is, Mukbil. The coaching experience is very big, too. You know, we see Coach Lismil, Mukbil did some tremendous move as a coaching, as a coach in this league, Mukbil, to overcome some difficulty in the late minute in the game yesterday.
Right.
It was a very, very remarkable. And he had a clap in the conference room. Everybody clapped for Coach Lismil. She said that she believes this is the final. And this is the final that, and they are really wanted to play like this for the fans to enjoy. Mukbil, if you really look at how she did change and she took time out and time that she needed to, she put play game in place, Mukbil, that was unstoppable. And in the fourth quarter, it was really big. And Coach Mills was going to make this game go to overtime, and the guy just fall, shot didn't fall through.
Right.
And otherwise, 6 seconds to go. 8 seconds to go. The shot fall. It would be the first overtime game in the Basketball Africa League, Mukbil, but it didn't happen. That show you the level of competitiveness from both sides. So it's very hard to predict it, but all these teams can go, Mukbil.
Man, Sheck, I definitely appreciate your insight from the ground out there. You know, we can talk hoop for hours, man. But we're gonna have to wrap.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to wrap it up. But we will definitely be back with you in the coming days to talk more about the potential matchups. But thanks so much, man. Enjoy yourself out there, and keep up the good work. Thanks for being with us today.
Anytime, Mukbil. Thank you.
That was my colleague, Sheck Tiero, in Kigali, Rwanda. Staying with African basketball, Nigerian basketball coach and mentor has urged organizers of the Basketball Africa League to expand its scope in Season 4. The coach wants the organizers to have 4 conference centers to accommodate more basketball clubs in the continent. He also suggests that winners of the league should be made to play against winners of the Asian or European leagues. Swalatum Bobmanuel is the founder and president of SBM Foundation, a youth membership and sports development foundation based in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. He spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye. He says the BAL organizers should pick players from some selected basketball foundations in Africa to play for teams in the league.
First off, I have to commend the organizers, the NBA and, of course, FIBA and all for BAL. What they have done so far is worthy of emulation, and I know they are seeking to expand. In my humble suggestion, I'll say they should see if they could make it into 4 regions, because Africa, depends on who you ask, is divided into 5 or 4 regions. If they could make it into 4 regions, because I know there are some teams out there that are pretty, pretty good. To show you what I mean, U.S. Monastir didn't even make it to the playoffs. Meanwhile, they were the previous champions. Show you how intense this is. So they should expand. We need to get more teams involved. And another suggestion I have is this. I think, in my own opinion, they could see how after every tournament, they find a way to play maybe a team in Europe, or maybe the best team in Europe, or the best team in Asia, or the best team on one continent. Because whoever is the winner at that point in time now represents Africa. Just a thought off my head. I don't know how you see it. And secondly, I'd like them to take a pet project on. Why I call that a pet project is this. If they could all pick one player from one of the academies or one of the foundations that support basketball around Nigeria. It doesn't have to be, they could put scouts out there and they pick one player just to have this experience for that season. I think it would do a lot. It would do a lot for that player, and it would do a lot in terms of development, because once you've been there, all you want to do is get to that level again, which is the highest level of basketball. So in my humble opinion, I think these could go a long way in helping the game grow.
Looking at the clubs from the Sahara and Nile conferences, which 2 do you tip to play for the Basketball Africa League title for Season 3?
This is a very tough question. Which clubs do I think from the Sahara and Nile conferences to play for the BAL Season 3? Everyone is giving it to Petro Atletico of Luanda, who have been superb beating everyone in the Nile Conference, and also some people think are highly, but I dare say the Sahara Conferences, they are no minnows, because if you see how they qualified, apart from Choir Falcons of Nigeria that didn't win any game, every other person won 3 and 2. That simply tells you that the Sahara Conference is full of dogs. Everyone is there. The team that was even knocked out, they had to check points and they had to check, they had to go through points and games played. So if you ask me now, I will want to sit on the fence concerning this, Mike. Although, the playoffs is a different ball game. A lot of people look at the playoffs like, one team is just going to run through. I strongly don't believe that. Because as we've seen in the NBA playoffs, two teams right now that are playing finals, they were both 8-seeded teams. How crazy does that sound? That simply means that no one gave them a chance. And I think the same thing is going to happen here, because the playoffs, like I said before, is a different ball game. But I, for one, I'm looking forward to everything that's going to go down, and we will definitely still keep in touch. Thank you.
Some basketball stakeholders or analysts have tagged this year's Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda, as clash of heavyweights. What's your take on this?
Yeah, some stakeholders and analysts have tagged this year's BAL playoffs in Rwanda the clash of heavyweights. It is definitely the clash of heavyweights. Like I said in my previous question, I believe it is the clash of the heavyweights, because everyone came here to prove a point. I use the Sahara Conference. I'll keep going back to the Sahara Conference. It was fun to watch a couple of the games in Sahara Conference, because you could not predict. I'm sure it was a better's nightmare, because, man, where do you want to start from? Which team do you want to tip to say, look, these are going to go all the way? There were no sure bets, because everyone had a run-in with almost everybody. Now, in the Nile Conference, I know everyone will be looking to beat Petro Atletico, because they've asserted themselves. Going 5-for-5 is no mean feat. But like they said, like they rightfully said, it is a clash of the heavyweights. And I like the fact that they expanded it to 2 conferences. And I'll reiterate, I hope they plan to make it more than 2 conferences, because that way basketball will grow to the level that it's supposed to grow. But once again, what they are doing, basketball is growing in leaps and bounds. Seriously, from me to you, I'm telling you, because the kids on the streets, the kids in my foundation, mostly that's what most people talk about. Now, no one is talking, and everyone is talking about how to get to the NBA. They're talking about how do we get represented in the BAL, which I think is a step in the right direction.
That was Swalatum Bamanual, a basketball coach and mentor. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the phone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Heading on to the pitch, Prince Nesta joins us now with the weekend highlights in the major European soccer leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Mukbil. Manchester City sealed their 3rd successive Premier League title in a row after securing a 1-0 win against Chelsea at the Etihad Stadium. The Citizens were confirmed as champions without even kicking the ball after Nottingham Forest's shock Saturday 1-0 win against Arsenal. The title could be just the start of a historic treble of trophies for City, with the finals of the Champions League and FA Cup still to come. City have now secured their 5th title in 6 years, with only Manchester United achieving the same feat from the 1995-1996 season to the 2000-2001 season. Here is City manager Pep Guardiola's reaction to his team's title win.
I would like, on behalf of all organization, myself personally, for the relation I have with Mikel, so incredible big congratulations for Arsenal has done. So I think Mikel bring the team again what Arsenal was in the past, since many years being far away. Have been a quite similar battle like Liverpool in the previous seasons. So they bring us again, Arsenal bring us again to our limits. Otherwise, if we don't make this run, the 12 games in a row winning after making 50 points in the first leg would have been impossible to catch them. So they lost some points, and we were there, we pushed them, and at the end, we retain our title.
Chelsea's interim manager Frank Lampard also shared his thoughts on the match.
It's disappointing, frustrating, because I don't ever want to stand as Chelsea manager and say I'm happy when we lose, but I think when you come to the Champions, we're in party mode and have such a good feeling. I think I wanted to, the challenge for my players was to show character and personality on the ball, moved the ball well, and I think after we gifted him a goal, which is a shame, it's an individual error, which you can't give them one here because they can make their own. We played pretty well. We made chances. We should score. We shouldn't lose the game. And maybe that's just a little bit of a belief thing at the top end of the pitch. But I can be happier today, Lee, because I saw things I spoke about and I've been speaking about for the last month. In some performances, I haven't seen them. Today was a team. And, yeah, a young team with improvements to do. But you have to act upon it and you have to do it daily to get where City have got and where we've been many times. So it was an improved performance from us and I'm pleased with that.
That's Chelsea's interim manager Frank Lampard discussing his team's loss against champions Manchester City in the Premier League. Arsenal looks set to finish second in the table with their 1-0 loss to lowly Nottingham Forest, ending a mathematical probability to pass Guardiola's side in the title race. Nigerian striker Taiwo Awoniyi scored the sole goal to help Forest survive relegation. The Gunners are now 7 points behind City after occupying the top spot for 248 days of the season, the most in English Premier League history for a team which failed to secure the trophy. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta shared thoughts on his team's performance.
A really sad day. A lot of difficult emotions. Obviously, we lost the game. We lost the championship after 10 and a half months fighting for it. 9.5 months almost on top of it. And obviously we built a lot of illusion, enthusiasm and belief that we could go all the way and win it. And at the end we fell short. First of all, congratulate Man City. They are the champions. They deserve to be the champions. They've done it for 38 games. We haven't been able to do that. And that's it. And from my side as well, apologize because we have generated that belief and that we could do it. And at the end, the team wasn't able to do it. And this is my responsibility.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta discussing his team's loss against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. Brazilian midfielder Casemiro scored the sole goal to help Manchester United move a step closer to a top-four finish after securing a 1-0 Premier League win against Bournemouth. The Red Devils are now fourth on 69 points. Here is Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag's thoughts on his team's performance.
Very happy. I think first 25 minutes was a very good performance from our team. Maybe one of the in the highest levels from this season. It's the way we want to play football. Pin the opponent back, good on the ball, a lot of movements. Good counter press, good press against a good team, Bournemouth. They can really play very good structures. I like them, the way of play. You can see they already safe two games before the end. But they didn't have any chance to play out because we dominate them in totally. Also, we create chances and we scored a brilliant goal.
That's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag discussing his team's win against Bournemouth in the Premier League. Cameroonian forward Brian Beumo scored twice to help Brentford secure a 3-1 win against Tottenham Hotspur. The Bees defeated Spurs for the first time ever, picking up their 14th Premier League victory this season, while also recording their most win in a top-flight season since the 1938-1939 season. Moving on to the French League, French striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice as Paris Saint-Germain secured a 2-1 victory over Auxerre. Second place Lens postponed the Parisians' celebration champagne after coming from behind to secure a 3-1 win against Lorient, with the win also securing a place for them in next season's Champions League. PSG needed Lens to drop points in Brittany, but Florian Sotoka, Adrien Thomasson and Ivorian midfielder Seko Fofana all netted to seal Lens's 9th win in 10 games. Third place Marseille also suffered a 2-1 defeat at the hands of Lille. The Olympians remain third on 73 points and are now assured of at least a place in the Champions League qualifying round for next season. Alexandre Lacazette, Maxence Kekret and French footballer Valjean Nigerian defender Ryan Cherokee all registered their names on the score sheet to help Lyon secure a 3-1 win against 4th-place Monaco. French striker of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder scored Monaco's consolation goal. And finally, in the German Bundesliga, Ivorian forward Sebastian Haller scored twice as Borussia Dortmund cruised to a 3-1 victory over Augsburg to take control of the Bundesliga. Dortmund are currently 2 points ahead of Bayern Munich and only need a win to secure the title for the first time since the 2011-2012 season. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
The Real Madrid team today lodged a hate crime complaint with Spanish prosecutors over racist chants hurled at Brazilian player Vinicius Jr. during Sunday's match at Valencia's Mestalla Stadium. The match at the Mestalla Stadium in Valencia was stopped for 10 minutes after the 22-year-old forward pointed out fans who were allegedly hurling racist comments at him. Videos posted on social media and verified by Reuters showed hundreds of Valencia fans singing "Vinicius is a monkey" as the Real Madrid bus arrived at the stadium before the match. In the end, Real Madrid lost the match 1-0. At a conference today, Spanish News Federation chief Luis Rubiales said the league has a problem.
Mientras que haya un solo aficionado, un solo indeseable, o un grupo de indeseables, que...
Rubiales says as long as a single fan or a group of undesirable fans insults players based on sexual condition, skin color, creed, well, we have a serious problem. A serious problem that also stains an entire team, an entire fan base, an entire club, an entire country. He also said he gives his support to any player who is insulted or attacked because of race, sexual orientation, or creed. La Liga president Javier Tebas wrote on Twitter that it is doing enough to combat racism and said Vinicius should inform himself before he criticizes the league. From humble beginnings in Oyo, Nigeria, Kwadri Aruna now ranks among the best table tennis players in the world. While Aruna focuses on a deep run at the World Table Tennis Championships in Durban, he also took time out to interact with youngsters at the Nelson Mandela Youth Center in Chatsworth, south of the city. Myron Yacker reports from Durban.
Kwadri, thanks for your time. For someone like you, who has played all over the world, what does it mean to compete in a world championships on African soil?
I'm very happy and excited to be here. You know, I was here in January and I really love it. I realize I have a lot of supporters here, a lot of lovers, a lot of fans, and I'm very happy to be back here again. I hope we make it count for Africa this time around.
We know your focus is on the world champs, but you still made time to come out to hold a coaching clinic with local youngsters.
It's like giving back the support they've been showing to me over the years. And that is one of the reasons I'm here today. So I'm very happy to meet all of them. I'm very happy to play in the midst of them. I'm very happy that I'm able to take pictures with some of them. And it means a lot to me, you know. It's like giving back the love they've been giving to me over the years.
In your view, Kwadri, how can the sport of table tennis grow and develop in Africa?
You know, since 8 years now, table tennis has actually been improving in Africa. And this World Championship will actually motivate and encourage some of the players in Africa, you know. More players will be encouraged while watching the World Stars. You know, they will be encouraged to come to the sport of table tennis. And I think if this kind of tournaments can be able to stage regularly in Africa, it means the sport of table tennis will actually grow a lot in Africa.
Now, 2 years ago in Houston, you became the first African to reach the quarterfinals of this event. What are your targets in Durban?
For me, it's about wherever where you come from. It doesn't matter. You can actually be what you wanted to be. You know, it's about determination, discipline, and, you know, just focus and believe in yourself. I believe so much in myself. I believe also a lot in God, and I work so hard. And going to the tournament, I always believe a lot in myself, even while playing alone with our coaches. I just do my thing and give my best and see how it goes.
Aruna defeated Romanian Ovidiu Ionescu in the round of 128 and will face Spaniard Alvaro Robles in a round of 64 clash on Tuesday. This is Myron Nyker for VOA News in Durban.
And that's a wrap for the May 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Mukbil Yabro filling in for Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.